There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
That guy was wrong. There is no Bob Pompeiani today. An entire city is let down, but we forge ahead anyway. Bob is out today. He'll be back tomorrow and Thursday. That leaves me and City Limits and me to ask City Limits how he's doing.
I'm fine, Joe. I'm fine. Ohio State won the Natty last night, and I think Penn State would have given him a better game. I still think Ohio State probably would have won. That team was a buzzsaw, and if you spend $20 million on your team, maybe you're a team of destiny.
Why did Notre Dame kick a field goal late in the game when they were still down by what? Two scores?
I don't know.
Why did that happen?
If the result of the missed field goal from by like 23 yards would have been the same from 41 yards in Miami a week and a half ago, I would have been in Atlanta last night driving back today.
I turned it off at halftime, disgusted by the whole thing, the whole spectacle. I couldn't take it anymore. It was a horrible game, and I didn't want to watch it anymore. My wife punched me in the face this morning.
Oh, that's nice. I don't see any scars on you. Are you okay?
I can't believe it took this long. Here's what happened. We're having furnace problems. So the house was, needless to say, freezing. So he's going to make another appearance.
I talked to Ron yesterday.
What?
I did.
Wait a second. Do we get to the wife punching me in the face or Ron first? Should I go ahead with my story?
Yeah, you finish your story and then tell mine.
Okay. So I go downstairs to take a look at things. At 4 a.m., plus I have to pee, plus I always get up, and then I start thinking about the state of the world and everything else, and my daughter now driving, I can't go back to sleep. So I'm just sitting in a chair. So then I go back up, I don't know, it must have been 6 a.m., to go back to bed, and the covers situation, Susie had all the covers, so she was still sound asleep. She sensed that I needed covers, and she went to pull on a cover. You know what I mean? To sort of pull it toward me.
Oh, yeah.
And inadvertently cracked me in the jaw.
Inadvertently. Like
she goes, oh, my God, I'm sorry.
She apologized. You made it out to me. You got into a war, all-out war this
morning.
Well,
I'm not sure there wasn't hidden meaning behind it, but she finally cracked me in the face after all these years.
Like maybe she intended to, and then she did, and she realized, oh, no.
I had to laugh. It was right to the jaw. It was unbelievable.
Are you okay?
I'm okay. Yeah, and then I went back to sleep, and then...
I would be remiss if I didn't ask about your well-being.
Guess who's coming to the house tomorrow? Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
Ah, very nice. But that means you probably have an issue going on.
We do have a little issue. We're going to freeze. But let's not bury the lead here. You communicated with Ron?
Yes. So I talked to Ron actually when I was in Miami and I said, hey, I'm down here in the Sunshine State. I hope everything's going well with you. And he responded back and said that he, you know, hopes I see a good game. The weather's obviously good, better than Pittsburgh. Stay well, best to your family. And I told him yesterday, we have 4-degree weather today. We were thinking about you on the show. You still get brought up a lot. And Ron said, if they are talking about me, I'm sure they're ripping me, especially the hosts.
The host or hosts? Plural.
The hosts, plural.
Plural, good. I'm glad I don't take all the blame. And that was it?
And I said, Joe and Bob miss you. We always wonder if you are listening to the show on the beach somewhere.
Let me guess his answer. He said, no chance.
He didn't answer.
He didn't. That's
not yet.
That's pretty much the same. Well, that's good. He seems to be doing well, doesn't he? A wonderful man.
Very wonderful.
That we miss dearly.
I wonder if he does listen to the show. I really do. I feel like he still does.
Limits. There's less. Of course, I'm the one who said there was less than no chance Ron would ever retire. I thought we were going to tear the jersey off him right in this studio here.
Ron tweeted yesterday. Did you see that?
No. What did he tweet?
He tweeted for the first time since wishing his daughter a happy birthday. It's a good thing they didn't let Jerome make the coin toss call at the national championship
game. That's a good tweet. I was thinking the exact same thing when Jerome came out for the coin toss.
People loved it. People loved seeing Ron back on Twitter.
Yeah. Could we get Ron to come on once in a while, or is it too late?
I think I can try.
I think he was offended that I didn't have him on shortly after. I just thought it was a good time for separation for both of us, really. And it was such a wonderful send-off, I thought it would have been watered down to have him back on. Wouldn't it be fun to do, I don't know, what would we call it? Cooking with Cookie once a week? Just go around the sports world once a week?
I don't know if he'd want to do once a week, but we could definitely make something arranged.
What are you talking about then? Once a year? Once
no,
a month?
Probably once a month, maybe.
Once a month.
He would just do a monthly check-in.
Cooking with Cookie.
I was going to tell him that you were going to surprise him by going down to Fort Myers to golf.
Cookie surprise.
You're going to knock on his door?
That would be a very bad surprise for him. What if I knocked on his door?
Unannounced.
He slams it on me.
Oh, Joe.
He would
definitely. What he'd say?
No.
What are you doing here, Joe?
He may do that. Actually, no, I think Ron would invite me in. We had a wonderful time there in Fort Myers or Naples, wherever we were last year, right after he left. And that was good enough. But I think cooking with Cookie surprise, something like that would be wonderful once a month. Why don't we do that?
Ron's takes from Florida?
Sure. Let's arrange that.
I'll do my best.
Very good. Here's where we start today, Limits, without further ado. This is what was on my mind at 4 o'clock in the morning before my wife punched me. I was sitting there thinking about this. What do I lead the show with today? What's the story? What's on my mind? What's topical? And you know what? As we turn the page here on the Steelers with another hugely disappointing season, and somehow I wonder if they think that. Somehow I wonder if the Steelers think it's disappointing. I'm just so convinced, or at least I wonder strongly, if Art believes that these are bad seasons. They haven't come close to winning a playoff game in 8 years, but they won 10 games. He may look at that late schedule and say, hey, we got screwed by the schedule, had some injuries, et cetera, et cetera. He may think Mike Tomlin did a good job for all I know. He certainly did last year. After they had the year they had last year and were non-competitive in a playoff game in Buffalo, TJ Watt's out. I think Mike did a good job. We exceed. We barely exceed our minimal expectations every year. Gosh, our coach must be doing great. Let's give him an unusually long 3-year extension and make him the 5th highest paid coach in all of American sports. I'm sorry, but Art's actions told me last year he's okay with everything. And I bet you he is again. I bet you he thinks they got screwed by the schedule. They were 10-3, and Mike did a good job. I think that's what he thinks, but I didn't come here to talk about that today, except in a supplemental form. I came here to talk about opportunity knocking for the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's here. Their chance. And you know what? More than that, we need the Pirates now. This city needs the Pirates. The Steelers are what they are. They've become an afterthought nationally and a point of contention, anger, and apathy here in town. You all saw the playoff game this year and the lead up to the playoff game is what I really mean. That it was as non-celebrated, no energy in town going into that playoff game as any I've ever seen. The Steelers are basically an afterthought. the Penguins in their sport are more than an afterthought. Their playoff streak is long gone. Their sellout streak is long gone. They're an afterthought. People are talking about these being the darkest times in a long time in Pittsburgh sports. And man, could we use the Pirates right now? Couldn't we? Just to step in and save us right now. That's what we need from them. And it's such an opportunity to take the spotlight. And they won't do it. Do you want to be the team that saves us, the team that we're all looking to, the team in the spotlight? They won't give yes for an answer. They just won't. So yes, I'm thinking about the poor, pitiful Pirates today. That's what I'm thinking about this morning. And how badly we need them and what a joke their offseason has been. They have done nothing to move the needle. And it's so far beyond disappointing, especially now. It's one thing, you know, if the Penguins are winning cups like they were, or even going on a playoff run, or even good, which they're not. I think last time I checked was 2 days ago, and there were three teams in the whole NHL with a worse point percentage. So when you're swimming with the Sharks and the Blackhawks, it ain't good. So it's one thing when they're good and when the Steelers are good and people are excited about the Steelers and think they have a chance to do something. They have no chance to do anything. They're an afterthought. They're a one and done, kick them out of the bar, throw them in the street playoff team. Nobody takes them seriously as a contender. You would think that the Pirates would seize the opportunity here, would seize the day, and instead, they have done nothing to move the needle this offseason, despite having maybe, and this is not hyperbole, the greatest young pitcher in baseball history to build around. And the makings of a good rotation. You know, I hear people talking about this like it's the 71 Orioles where you're going to have three or four 20-game winners. Not that people do that anymore, but this isn't some legendary rotation, but the guy at the top is legendary or has a chance to be. He's somebody you build around, and they only have him for a short period of time. And what has their offseason looked like? Nothing. Andrew McCutchen, 1 year for $5 million. Somebody named Elvis Alvarado. Somebody named Spencer Horwitz. Somebody named Caleb Ferguson, who I thought was a football player, if I'm not mistaken. And somebody named Emmanuel Valdez. It's almost like they're joking. Like, oh, you thought we'd do something? The joke's on you. They've done nothing. Their over-under last year, I think, was 75 or 76.5, somewhere in there. Guess what it is this year? 76.5. ESPN gives them the worst World Series odds in the NL Central. At 75-1, and their over-under from them is 76.5. Tied for worst in the division with the Cardinals, who have literally done nothing this offseason. And again, virtually the same as last year. What an opportunity. And they don't have to go out and spend like the Dodgers. Nobody ever could. They don't even have to spend like the Diamondbacks. They just have to spend a little bit. They're projected to have like the fifth or sixth lowest payroll last year. And by the way, right now it's projected to be lower than last year's. How's that possible? How is that even possible? You can't go lower than last year. It's like trying to do the limbo? What's the thing with the bar that you go under?
The limbo.
The limbo under a worm. You can't go any lower than last year. They were second lowest in the league to a team that doesn't even have a city or a ballpark. The Sacramento A's, I think they're called now. The Oakland football team, the Sacramento baseball team. I don't know what the hell they're called.
They're just the A's.
The
no
A's.
No location given.
I actually like that. They were the only team with a lower payroll last year, so pump it up by $40 million. Go buy the kid who went the other day. He's not a kid anymore. Santander. Is that how you
Anthony
say his
Santander,
name?
Yeah, from
Santander.
The Orioles. 5 years, 90-plus million.
I don't care what his name is. I care that he hit 44 homers and that his contract was doable. They've done nothing. They're probably worse now than last year. At least by the end of last year. Chapman's gone. Ortiz is gone. Who's in their place? Spencer Horwitz? I looked at all these projected lineups, and I know Ben Cherington promises a move before, or at least indicated there could be a move before spring training or before the season starts. I can't wait to see that one. Everybody's gone who they could have spent some money on. So here's your projected lineup. I got Liner there because Kiner Falefa is your leadoff hitter in every projection I'm seeing. A guy who can't hit is your leadoff hitter. He had a .265 on base percentage last year. He had a brief revival in the first half of the year for the Blue Jays. Total outlier from his career and then reverted to his norm, even below it, when he got here. So your leadoff hitter, according to these projections, had a .265 on base percentage here last year. Brian Reynolds in the two-hole good. O'Neill Cruz, 21 home runs, 181 strikeouts in the three-hole. Basically, you hope that he finally puts it all together. McCutchen is the cleanup hitter in every projection I've seen. A 38-year-old who was supposed to come here and supplement things, bat way lower in your lineup and just sort of be an addition when he got back here a couple years ago. He's your cleanup hitter at age 38. 20 home runs and a .232 batting average. That's your cleanup hitter. They just passed up a guy. For all we know, didn't make him an offer at all, who had 44 homers last year. Spencer Horwitz, projected by Fangraphs to hit 12 home runs, is your six hitter. I forgot about Joey Bart in the five hole. And they better hope what we saw in a pretty small sample size from Joey Bart was real, or that's going to be a problem. Nick Gonzalez, after Horwitz, is your second baseman, coming off a .709 OPS. Key Brian Hayes is in the eighth spot, a guy they gave $70 million to, and you have no idea if he's going to play. He led all of Major League Baseball history last year in balls topped at the plate. I've never seen anybody top more pitches than him. His total, he would go games where he'd have five at-bats and the total length of the balls he put in play was like a foot. And then Josh Palacios, I didn't even know he was still here, Limits. He's still here?
I saw him walking around at Pirates Fest. He's here.
Did you get his autograph?
No.
He's projected as the nine hitter. That's your lineup. Kiner, Falefa, Reynolds, Cruz, McCutchen, Bart, Horwitz, Gonzalez, Hayes, and Palacios. Are you blanking kidding me? With a bench of the human rain delay is back. I forgot about that. Jason Delay. Jared Triolo, who went months at a time without an extra base hit last year. Nick York, who I forgot was here. And Billy Cook, who might as well be Ron Cook, texting Limits from Florida. This lineup stinks. This bench stinks. What the hell are they doing, honestly, in this offseason? What have they done with this kind of opportunity? Just staring at them. Here, take it. Everybody's ticked at the Steelers. They're not a contender, a real contender. Everybody knows that. The Penguins have sunk to new lows. Here, take it. Take it. Go out and buy a player or two for minimal salary. Jock Peterson. I don't know how to pronounce his name anymore either. I'm flustered here. For what, $16 million? For a guy who crushes right-handed pitching? And we're going to show up here with, after O'Neill Cruz at number three, the rest of your batting order is McCutchen, Bart, Horwitz, Gonzalez, Hayes, and Palacios, with a bench of Delay, Triolo, York, and Ron Cook. That's what we got here. It's just unbelievable. And I wonder off the top of the show what the emotion is about this offseason. This town desperately needs something, and it should be the Pirates because they have the pieces in their staff, in their pitching staff. They have the piece at the top of their pitching staff, a guy that you build around. Plus, they've had all these drafts from, you know, 3-4 years of abject tanking and then just being bad, not on purpose. They have the number 9 pick again this year. So after these years of prime drafting position, the opportunity to bring in international free agents. By the way, has anybody graduated from their much-hyped Latin American academy? I was doing stories on the opening of that thing when David Littlefield was here. And it was going to produce wonders. They were actually spending money on something. See? We're spending money on something. We're going to produce players from there. Has anybody graduated from that place? It's like Animal House. Nobody graduates from there. Plus the draft, plus the opportunity to bring in young players in trades. I mean, every trade they've made practically for the last 8 years has been, oh, we're bringing, you know, lottery ticket type return here, high ceiling prospect. Where are all they? How is there not a single guy rocketing through their lineup who's a hitter? How is that possible? It's almost a miracle. After all these years of drafting where they draft, where's the hitter? I should say hitters, but I'll just go with one. Termar Johnson, he's still in double A. He's very young. Maybe he'll hit someday. How can that be? How is there not a Chris Bryant when he rocketed through the Cubs system? Or any one of a number of dozens of guys over this period of time who have done that in the other organizations? Number 1 picks they've had. Number 7 pick, I think, was Nick Gonzalez. All of that. And we're leading off with Isaiah Kiner-Falefa? Andrew McCutchins, your cleanup hitter? Joey Bart, Spencer Horwitz, Nick Gonzalez, Key Brian Hayes, and Josh Palacios? Where is everybody? Where are the Pirates? Hello, we need you. Please, we need you. Right now it's a dying sports town with the Steelers and the Penguins. What an opportunity. What an opportunity for the Pirates to swoop on in and be the cavalry. And instead they have Isaiah Kiner-Falefa as their leadoff hitter and Ron Cook coming off their bench. I'm just, you know, that's why I was thinking of all this. It's the state of sports in this town. It's their chance, and they might have a lower payroll than last year, really, with the way that baseball, too, has taken off revenue-wise. I think they're going to be okay. They spend an extra $30 million or $40 million. They'll still barely be over 100. Just get into Brewers territory. As I say often, Milwaukee is actually a similarly sized, perhaps smaller market than Pittsburgh. So why? Why the disparity? It's just really, really especially depressing now. You know, people can forget about them when the other teams are going good, like I said. But now when we need you, the over-under 76.5 again. Your biggest offseason moves were McCutchin, Horwitz, Caleb Ferguson, and Emmanuel Valdez. Oh, I forgot about Elvis Alvarado. Sorry, Limits. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not enthused by Elvis Alvarado that much either, but I think you hit the nail on the head on a lot of different things, and especially what is odd to me is I view this year as judgment day for the entire year on a lot of different people in this organization. And at the same time, this might be, I think it probably is, I don't have any inside source on that, Andrew McCutchin's final year. Like, I expected him to come back, play 3 years. If he played all three, great. This is probably going to be it. So don't you owe it to him as well, as he's saying he needs to step up as a leader because they're not adding other pieces to basically bring this whole thing together? And Paul Skene's talking about they can't choke away games late in the game. How many games did they have last year where they were leading going into the 7th, 8th, or 9th inning and blew it, and their bullpen gave it away? And they had no bullpen pieces this year. Like, they haven't added one bullpen arm other than Caleb Ferguson. Is that guy supposed to replace Chapman? So I have so many comments, concerns, and thoughts.
They did more last year. They did more last offseason simply by signing Chapman to a $10 million deal. I've just never been so disappointed. How many more years of control do they have on Skeens? Five?
Yes.
Okay. So,
including this year.
Right. You figure at most then he's going to play four more seasons. That's your window. And if it's like the Gerrit Cole situation, then you start talking about trading him, or people will, if you don't have him signed to a new deal, people will start talking about trading him after three more seasons. So 25, 26, 27, that's when the talk will start. That's when Cole was dealt. So you have a very, very small window with this guy. Very small. But you also might have him, who knows, for the greatest years of his career. 22 through 26 or 27. That is the prime of an athlete's career. So why not try to take advantage of it? And if you're Bob Nutting, why not ever err on the side of, man, if we can put it together even a little bit, the money's going to start pouring in. Because this is a desperate sports town right now. But even if the Penguins and Steelers were winning, you know, it would still be, I think, packed stadiums and things like that, packing PNC Park or coming close for big games in September and August. You know, I'll never forget, I learned my lesson back in 2011, which was Clint Hurdle's first year. And I had written and said, we all had talked about, all of you out there, and me too, about the lost generations of Pirates fans. I think at that point it was an 18-year losing streak. You'll never get those people back. Even if they become pretty good, you've just lost too many fans. Well, guess what? They were in first place in late June, and the city was going nuts. I did a story for CNN, my only story for CNN. It paid rather handsomely, I might add, limits, about the revival of the Pirates, a hometown kid, Neil Walker, helping lead that revival. People out on the Clemente Bridge with brooms before a game, like it was packed on the bridge coming over. They're about to sweep the Cardinals. And it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to light a spark with the Pirates, no matter how many years they've lost in a row, no matter how angry people are. It doesn't take much, but it takes more than signing McCutchen, Alvarado, trading for Horwitz, and bringing in somebody named Emmanuel Valdez. It takes way more than that. One guy? They couldn't go out and get one guy?
Think about how they were competitive with Skeens going into August this year, and we were barely talking about training camp for the Steelers. I mean, that's the power and polarization that the Pirates have in this city. It's a baseball town. It's a football town, number one. There's no denying that. Then it's a baseball town. And, I mean, I will argue with the wall with people about that. And it shows. Every time that they were even in the mix competitively. They were around 500 until that Diamondback series is what tanked everything. The ballpark was packed all the time.
There's deeper, longer-lasting connections with baseball, you know, certainly than hockey. And people want to. No matter how angry they are, they want to root for a winner. They want to go to that ballpark. So give them a reason. Instead, we're stuck here at 76.5 wins over under again. So that's where I'm at this morning. 412-928-9370. 928-9370. And I can't figure out, really, as someone who's followed the Pirates my whole life, For all of my childhood, was a huge fan of the team, just gigantic fan, didn't have a baseball team where I came from, would make pilgrimages here. And while I'm not a fan anymore, it feels more hurtful to my heart than anger-inducing. It really does. It really does. Now being, you know, a Pittsburgher for I don't know, when was November of 1989 when I moved here, limits? Is that
like 35 years ago?
35 years. This is where I got married, where we've raised my child, where I've made a career. And the Pirates have missed the playoffs 28 of 32 years. I mean, when I got here, they were good. And then they weren't for a long, long time. And then they briefly were again. Their last playoff series win was 1979 when I was 14 years old. And this is such an opportunity in a mediocre division. I didn't even add that. Looking at the moves that teams have made this offseason, one of these years the Brewers are going to fall off, although they're so well run that you wonder about that. Maybe the Cubs. You know, the Cardinals stink. It almost looks like the Cardinals want to sink to the bottom and rise up, which is what a smart organization would do, knowing they could build back up. What an opportunity at hand on so many levels for the Pirates. On so many levels. And it looks to me like they're going to blow it. Unbelievably did more last offseason than this offseason after getting a look at Paul Skenes and what he could mean. Almost like they're relying on this rotation. You know what I mean? Like, we don't need much. We have Skenes and these other guys in this rotation. And again, I'm not so sure this is the 71 Orioles. You have Skenes, then you have Keller, who has completely wilted down the stretch each of the past two seasons. Jared Jones is still, you know, wildly talented, but a tiny sample size, and he fell off last year. And then Bailey Falter and Oviedo maybe with Chandler coming up. I don't know. To me, there's still tons of questions there, more than answers. Has a chance to be really good. I don't know that you just roll out those guys and win a pennant. But there is Skenes. 412-928-9370 off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We got a lot going on the show today. John Parrotto is going to join us to talk a little Pirates. We have a treat for you at 1 p.m. We have the debut of Limits' new segment. What are we calling it, Limits? A football fix, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's what our minds came up with.
Yeah.
Our intelligent minds came up with.
Yes. Took both of us to think of that. You thought of football, I thought of fix. Talking about how not only does opportunity knock for the Pirates to take center stage in this town right now with the troubles of the Steelers and the Penguins, but also how much we need them right now and how disappointing, how crushing really this offseason has been for fans. They've basically done nothing, not a thing, unless Spencer Horwitz at 27 suddenly becomes an impact hitter at first base. They've basically done nothing. It's funny, Limits, I was in the hallway talking to somebody about this topic, and then I come back and check my texts, and a guy named Colby, who used to work here, texted me about the same topic, and it's theoretical, obviously, but what would they get if they traded Paul Skenes right now?
We actually had a caller on the line who dropped off but had the same idea. What would they get for him? Probably a team's top three or four prospects.
So the Dodgers have the eighth-ranked farm system in all of baseball right now, which is unbelievable to me. Where do they draft every year? They're just, in addition to spending billions of dollars.
And they just signed the top international free agent, Joe.
Yeah.
Just cop it up for the Dodgers.
So I would say for Skenes to the Dodgers, we take your top five prospects. Give us $80 million, your top five prospects, and one of your best players. Not that I'm not saying I would do it. I'm saying theoretically, what would a Skenes trade net you? What would be realistic? Do you think that is? From the eighth-ranked farm system in all of Major League Baseball, you get their top five prospects, $80 million, and a really good player from their team. How do you like that?
$80 million?
Yeah.
I don't know how that would work, but...
Would they let it work? Where is the Pirates farm system?
They're letting the Dodgers spend $375 million, and when it goes up with their luxury tax, they're going to be paying like $75 million in tax money. And they deferred Shohei Ohtani's.
You think that bothers the Dodgers?
That's like me taking
a penny out of my pocket right now and throwing it out on the table.
The point of the matter is that the economic system of baseball is broken.
Oh,
and I know you don't like
about
it,
that crap.
But it's broken. I'm not going to get off of it.
The Brewers won the division. So win your division.
Good for them. And who's going to continue to win World Series?
Win a division. Forget the World Series for now. Win the division. Forget the Dodgers. Forget everybody else. Win a division. Be good. There's no excuse not to be good. We can talk about the World Series later. Where is the Pirates farm system? I'm looking at the top farm systems. They've drafted in the top 10 for 90 straight years.
And they have not done a good enough job of drafting bats.
White Sox, Cubs, Guardians are 6, A's 7, Dodgers ahead of the Pirates at 8. Oh my God, the Brewers at 9, Colorado at 10. I'm going slowly here. I'm scrolling through. Texas, 11. Where are the Pirates' limits? I can't find them.
They're outside the top 10. I know that.
They're 15th. 15th. They're 15th. They have three tier one prospects. Three of them. Three tier one prospects. What has Ben Cherington been doing? Bubba Chandler's 1. Connor Griffin, 2. Thomas Harrington, 3. And they're the only tier ones. Then you have Termar Johnson, Ashcraft, and I need to be careful about saying that name every time I say it. Nick York is their 7th best prospect.
What about Xander Muth?
Xander Muth.
Like Friar Muth.
Yeah. You think they'll chant that when he comes out to pitch?
Muth. Here he comes. Like play Renegade for Bednar. They'll be chanting Muth. You'll be thinking it's a Steeler game.
I can't wait till their rotation is Chandler, Skeens, Ashcraft, and Muth. That's going to be great.
And Bailey Falter.
Yes, and Bailey Falter.
And they score 1 run and lose 1-0 every game.
It says here, this is a Bleacher Report.
2-1.
2-1? What?
I corrected myself. I said that they would score 1 run per game and lose 1-0. That would not make sense.
No. Oh. Even after graduating Paul Skeens and Jared Jones to the majors, the Pirates still have a wealth of pitching talent, it says here, rising in the minor league ranks. It's not out of the question. Bubba Chandler, Thomas Harrington, and Braxton Ashcraft could all start games. It has been years since this system produced an impact position player, but they know how to develop arms. Well, good for them. Then why don't they trade a couple and bring in some bats? To me, that's the only thing left. But the point here is, what could they get theoretically in a Skeens deal? Who's got the best system in all of baseball? According to this, the Seattle Mariners. They have 6 tier one prospects. I would call them. Say, we want 5 of those 6, our pick, and we'll take, you know, whoever your best player is.
Cole Young, their shortstop, one of their top prospects, is from North Allegheny, by the way.
We'll take him, too. And he'll be the next Neil Walker. We'll take all 6 of their top 6 prospects, including Cole Young. How's that limits?
No.
The Tampa Bay Rays will take your 10 top prospects, plus a player of our choice off your roster.
Their model of consistency is just insane, right? How they just churn out prospect after prospect after prospect, and other than the last year or two, consistently good. Why can't they take somebody from the Rays organization and pluck them into the organization to draft and develop?
The key here would be because these teams, you know, they have a bunches of prospects that they want to build around, and just getting one guy, even one guy like Skeens, probably wouldn't be the right team like Tampa, but the Dodgers... The Dodgers sitting here at number 8 is just unreal to me. So we'll take tens of millions of dollars. Screw it. We'll take your top 10 prospects and $90 million and a player off your roster, and you can have Skeens. Do you think they would do that?
No, I don't.
I do.
No, I don't think the Dodgers would. You think the Dodgers
yes.
would do that?
Yes.
I don't they think show they, up with Skeens. They don't care about the $80 million.
What would their rotation be?
They build a lot of their team based off of prospects.
Oh, get out of here.
Get out of here.
Go look at their depth. Go look at their lineup.
I'm going to pull it up right now.
Pull it up right now. That didn't sound right. You might be right about that. I don't know. Go ahead.
I know I'm right about it. All right, here's their roster. Their catcher, Will Smith, drafted and developed. Now, they did trade for Freddie Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
They developed the likes of Chris Taylor. They
now, tell me their lineup. Tell me their lineup. What's their starting outfield? Huh?
Let me pull it up here.
Why are you taking so long to pull this
up? Because I was looking at my phone roster.
Usually that's Bob's problem. Shohei Ohtani wasn't homegrown. Was Mookie Betts homegrown?
No.
So all their best players weren't homegrown. Was Tyler Glasnow?
No.
What was Who was then?
Well, they signed Yamamoto. They homegrown with Tony Gosselin, Dustin May, and their starting rotation.
I don't really give them credit for going out and outspending people on the internet. To me, that's like a free agent, the international market. Tell me who they've drafted, developed.
They just traded Gavin Lux, the second baseman, to, I think it was the Reds, for a piece in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's
their payroll right now is $369 million, is it not?
Yeah, I saw 375, but
now
that's
splitting
hairs.
Let's compare their top four hitters to the Pirates. You ready?
Let's do it.
Pirates.
Shohei Ohtani against Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
Right. Shohei Ohtani leading off against Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Mookie Betts is your two hitter against Reynolds.
That's close.
Pardon me?
No, I'm just playing with you.
Okay.
You got to have a little bit of exaggeration.
All right. Yeah, I didn't get your sense of humor there. Their three-hitter is Freddie Freeman. Who's the Pirates' three-hitter?
The World Series MVP or O'Neill Cruz.
Right. Their Teoscar Hernandez is their cleanup hitter.
Their cleanup guy, or Andrew McCutchen.
Right.
Is Teoscar Hernandez a Hall of Famer? I don't think so. Andrew McCutchen is.
Then, your sense of humor again.
Yeah,
then
you still can't catch on.
Max Muncy and Will Smith compared to Joey Bart and Spencer Horwitz. So I would tell, plus they brought in Blake Snell.
Now, I would actually take Joey Bart over Max Muncy because he hits .213. I know he does hit 24 homers, but if you give Joey Bart a full year, I would take it. But that's about it.
I'm hoping for the best with Joey Bart that he doesn't turn into Joey Bart, but we'll see. So the rotation right now is Blake Snell, Yamamoto, Glasnow. I think Skeens could fit in the rotation, don't you? Might be pretty good.
He'd be close. He'd probably be their four or five starter.
So I would tell them, are they allowed to pick up salaries in Major League Baseball? I would tell them we want your top seven prospects plus Hernandez and a pitcher and $80 million.
I don't think you could just trade $80 million. This does not work that way.
No, cash consideration.
$80 million?
Yeah.
The entire payroll?
Give it
of
to the Pirates.
They
can use it on their Latin American Academy.
That's
and build,
where you
build it
me.
Even more to not produce players. I don't know. That would be interesting if that ever came up. Sooner or later, man.
Sooner or later, that discussion is going to be had.
What if Skeens gets better?
He's going to get better.
What if
it's hard to fathom that he can get better.
What if Skeens, and he's still young, it's not like he got a late start here. What if Skeens at 25 is the best pitcher in all of baseball?
He already is.
If at 25 he's the best pitcher in all of baseball and he's got a year or two left on his Pirates tenure, then you're going to have to make a deal. But you could make a deal that could bring back a windfall. Unfortunately, if Charrington's still here, it would be for all the wrong players, right?
It'd be like the Garrett Cole trade.
This is a disaster. 412-928-9370. Let's get to a call before the top of the hour, may we?
Let's do it. Here is Tom in Blairsville.
Good morning, first time caller. I just wanted to make a suggestion for a weekly show for you for the Pirates. You got one more year to do it. It would be Starkey and Kutch. I've been sitting on that for a while.
I do like that. That was one of my favorite shows, and I had a friend named John Huck, so he used to call us Starkey and Huck. For those of us who are old, Starsky and Hutch, you know that show, Limits?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
You should watch it.
What's it about?
I'm sorry. I'm angry with you for other things, and I'm taking it out on
other
this.
Things?
Yeah.
Would you like to explain what the other things are to me?
No. I want the caller to keep going.
The caller is gone.
Bring on the next guy.
That's it.
That's it. Hey, I'll tell you what won't be a laughing matter if people go from anger to apathy with the Pirates. And I'll say this too. I'm a paying customer, not just a media talker. I spend probably $500 plus on Pirate games, bringing my daughter, a friend, things like that to games. So I speak also as somebody who sits out there and watches the games.
Buying the $8 hot dog?
Yeah, but somebody who, you know, didn't care about that so much when they were good. It's been a while. How in the world do they have the 15th best? Now, that's Bleacher Report. Can you look up MLB's top farm systems? How is their farm system getting worse? How is that possible? How is it getting worse? I realize a couple, you know, Skeens graduates. Okay. How in the world has it gotten worse? Limits.
Well, it, partly because of the graduation of Skeens, graduation of Jones, some of the other prospects that they've had, but there's no doubt about it. They have not done a good enough job of drafting bats whatsoever, and they're not developing. Like, where is the third, fourth, fifth round draft pick?
I could have drafted Skeens. Right. I do give Charrington credit because there was question between him and Dylan Cruz, and actually a lot of people had the Pirates taking the everyday player. He made the right move. I don't care if Dylan Cruz becomes a superstar and, you know, Paul Skeens, whatever, if he were to get injured, God forbid, something like that. They made the right move. He picked a generational pitcher.
So going into last year, they were the ninth best farm system. Last during the middle of the year in 2023, they were the second best. MLB Pipeline mid-year this past season had them 20th. 20th with Bubba Chandler as their top prospect, followed by Connor Griffin, their first round pick. Termar Johnson is sliding down lists.
I mean, that's almost a miracle. How do you do that when you're picking where they're picking every year? I don't understand. They're picking. Where are they picking? It doesn't even say where they're picking on this stupid thing I'm looking at. Anyway, oh, here, 9,
yeah,
1,
ninth.
4, 1, 7, 18, 10, 12, 22, 19, 24, 9, 8, 1.